Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Wednesday. Today we take the passage we learned about in the Bible yesterday and try to make sense of it, try to understand how it challenges and transforms our thinking. Yesterday we heard the story of Nehemiah, a man in the Old Testament part of the Bible, who approached the king of Persia about rebuilding the city of Jerusalem that had lain in ruins since they were overrun by enemies. He was given permission to do that, and much of the book of Nehemiah describes the project management. It describes what happened when, by who, and how they protected themselves from opposition, political or military. Now, it's a fascinating book to read if you're a leader, project manager. It shows you, you know, how thousands of years ago, pretty sophisticated leadership and management styles were actually in effect. But there's more to it than that. Like every book we've read in the Old Testament, we've seen contemporary applications at the time, but we've also looked ahead and seen, wait a minute, the Old Testament is always pointing to Jesus as well. And we can even see that in the book of Nehemiah. It might not be obvious right away, but it's there. First of all, Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king. And as I said yesterday, that meant he sat at the right hand of the king, brought him wine, and tasted the wine before the king drank it, as proof that it wasn't poisoned. He was at once a bodyguard, a beef eater, and a trusted confidant, since he sat at the right hand of the king. So Nehemiah has this incredible privileged position at the right hand of the king. He's in a place of great influence and trust and power, and yet he gives it up. He willingly gives it up to take on this distant project. And that's the way Jesus was described. Jesus sat at the right hand of God the Father. As God the Son, he was at the center of the universe. And yet he gave up that power and majesty and authority for a time to step down from that position of power and to come to us, to take on this distant project of rebuilding a fallen, broken humanity, not a city. The Apostle Paul described this beautifully in the book of Philippians when he said, "Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And that's the second point about a cupbearer that has a parallel with Jesus. The cupbearer had to be willing to die for the king. He had to be willing to drink what might be poisoned wine. Jesus was willing to die for his Father's cause, to save humanity. When Jesus knew his death was imminent, the night before he died, he prayed to his Father if he would just let this cup pass from him. He was using that cupbearer language. "I know this is a poison cup. I know I'm going to die tomorrow. Can this cup pass from me? Is there any way I don't have to drink this poison cup?" He was willing to do it, though, because he willingly went to his death when he was arrested that night and executed the next day. Clearly, the project was important enough that he was willing to die for the king and willing to give up the power and authority he had at the right hand of the king. Now, the book of Nehemiah also describes Nehemiah weeping over the city of Jerusalem. He looks at the destruction and he just weeps and cries at the state of it all. Jesus is described as having done the same thing. For somebody familiar with the Jewish scriptures would have immediately reminded them of Nehemiah weeping over the city, looking out over this, what was meant to be the city containing the temple, God's presence on earth for his chosen people on his mountain. Looking at that in ruins was just too much for Nehemiah, and it was too much for Jesus too, not because of the architecture, but because of what had happened to the people of God, to the humanity contained within it. He saw how far they had been fallen and destroyed from the place they were supposed to have in close personal relationship with God, and wept over that. And then, like Nehemiah, he did something about it. Nehemiah went and rebuilt the city, and Jesus went and rebuilt humanity by dying on the cross for us and rising to new life. He made it possible for us to know God in that way again, for death and sin's power to be destroyed. Jesus and Nehemiah have some amazing parallels, as you can see. But probably the most important episode in the book of Nehemiah is what happened when the rebuilding of the city was complete. A scribe named Ezra join Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem. They gathered all together, and they didn't just have a great big party. They sat down and they read, well, actually they didn't sit, they stood to read the law, to read God's covenant with them and the law that was meant to undergird that, to remind themselves of a few things. Here's what happened in the book of Nehemiah as people gathered together to read the book of the law.
And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on the right hand, and Pedaiah, Mashiel, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleiah, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading.
We'll explore that a little bit more tomorrow, what it all means. But you can see there how they were recommitting to the law and the covenant and how the law was meant to undergird the covenant. As God made commitments and promises to them, they were supposed to be making promises and commitments to live in God's way. They had failed at that miserably, and this was their moment to recommit to that after reacquainting themselves with what it said in the first place. So before we discuss that more tomorrow, here's your question for today. How did Jesus, in his death and resurrection, show God's renewed commitment to his people? And how did it lead God's people to recommit to the law? In other words, how does this part of Nehemiah's story parallel Jesus' story? So, have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.